Hey, it's Chuck Armstrong with Loudwire Nights, and this is Loudwire Nights On Demand. I don't need to say much more other than we got to hang out with Gary Holt of Exodus and Slayer. This conversation first aired on Thursday, March 12th. Let's do it. Hanging with us tonight is a legend in hard rock and metal, the longtime guitarist, songwriter for Exodus, and the guy who's been shredding for Slayer for 15 years, a guy that Loudwire once said is arguably the best pure thrash guitarist, Gary Holt. Thank you so much for hanging tonight, man.
Thank you for that. not bad for a guy who knows five licks.
Not maybe bad at
six
all,
on a good day. In my 80s, I knew maybe 10. I don't know. Forgot half of what I know. But thank you.
Yeah, for sure, man. Well, thanks for being here. And listen, before we get into it, we got a lot to talk about. I got to ask, you know, just as I say that, some of those things, I mean, you know, like Slayer, like, is it hard to believe you've been, that this year marks the 15th year since you started playing with Slayer?
Well, I kind of don't count the pandemic years, you know, because, you know, the Slayer was, for all intents and purposes, done. So I guess maybe it's like 12 years now.
You know,
I never planned that to happen. We all wanted Jeff to return to his spot. But yeah, when you think about it, what started as supposed to be like a tour or two became over a decade. It kind of blows my mind still to this day, you know, that all these years later, I was playing the fucking Ozzy's final show. It's amazing.
I know, man. Well, all right, let's talk about that. You know, the last time we had you on the show, it was a couple of months before Back to the Beginning. And so, you know, getting amped up for that and getting excited for that. I had the chance to be there. It was just an unbelievable day for so many reasons. What was that like for you, man?
It was incredible. Like bucket list show of all time. You know, I'm still like kind of a pinch me kind of thing that I was able to be a part of, like honoring a guy who I'd seen live so many times before I ever played guitar, you know, just, just being there. And like, and all the musicians were all reduced to fanboys. It's like, you know, I went down to watch, I think it was Tool, and there's Hetfield, who I hadn't seen in a long time, and he's behind my amps. And so the first thing I do is go up and go, hey, don't fuck with them amps. And he goes, I'm dialing in some low mids for you. And then watching Tool, and I've never met, nor did I that day, I never met Adam Jones, but he came over to fist bump me, you know, like, shit like that means a lot. You know, it's just kind of an acknowledgement of like, thanks for coming down and watching it. And I tried to watch everybody I could, but I had to remember to like stay off my feet a little bit. You know, you have to play too.
Yeah.
You know, so I'd go and sit down and warm up but it was just like the camaraderie around everybody of like paying homage to Ozzy and Black Sabbath was remarkable. Like, I'll never forget it.
Yeah, it was an incredible day. And like you said too, like the band's reduced to these fanboys, like, you know, there's no ego or anything like that on stage.
And, no, none whatsoever. You know,
everybody just awesome there to do the same thing.
I mean, yeah, I've watched Ozzy and Sabbath in the crowd, you know, sitting there like bro hugging and almost metal tearing up with Scott Ian. And we're like there in the crowd, you know, standing on some platform to watch it all, you know, and watch the entire thing. It was like fucking killer, you know. You're there with some of your best friends watching the final performance of someone who meant so much to you, you know. It's like, who would have ever thought I'd do that, you know?
Yeah, well, and that's a thing too, right? Like it was an incredible, surreal day, period. But then less than 3 weeks later, Ozzy passes, and then that whole thing just becomes even crazier.
Never saw that coming, you know, like we didn't think it was that close. We knew the end was there, you know. It was struggling live, but that was part of the beauty of what we were witnessing, you know, because you could see that he wanted so bad to get out of that throne. He wanted to get a bucket of water and throw it on someone. He wanted to be the guy he was. And you know, and watching, you know, like the Ozzy part was probably the more moving to me, because the songs, Mama, I'm Coming Home, you know, like,
man,
watching, and Zach knowing that he had to help him out vocally and just moving everything over to get to the mic. It was just awesome. It's just like the show of love and support for a guy who gave so much. It was, it was awesome. I mean, come on, what can you say?
I know. No, you can't say anything, man. It was incredible.
Wow. Like goosebumps. I still get goosebumps.
I know. When you said Mama, I'm Coming Home, I'm like, oh man.
Yeah.
I remember, you know,
that, you know, because Sabbath stuff was awesome, but it's super heavy, but that song was so poignant, in its own right. You know?
Yeah. Yeah, for sure, man. All right. Well, listen, we've already covered Slayer. We've covered Back to the Beginning. Oh, you're also gearing up for the 12th studio album from Exodus, Goliath, out on March 20th.
Yeah, yeah.
How's it feel getting ready for the release of this one, man?
I can't remember the time we were so excited for a release as we are for this. It's the most collaborative effort we've ever done. Lee wrote 4 out of 10 songs on it. He wrote almost half the album because he was motivated and writing just brilliant stuff. And we recorded 80% of the follow-up. You know, we just worked like for 2 months. We live in a house together and we just write all day. Like when we're not in the studio, we're still writing guitars and drums everywhere. And we went in with like 4 songs done and recorded 18. You know, we just were experiencing an explosion of creativity. It was fucking something else.
That's amazing.
I'm super
man.
Proud of this album. And Rob did things vocally I didn't know he could do. I knew he could do the intense, like violent thrash, but he added like subtle layers. He was like a blooming onion. You know, he peeled back some shit. You know, it was awesome. Everybody, Jack just put in the best bass performance he's ever done. We turned him up more in the mix, bigger bottom end. You know, like I wanted more like a huge rock mix. Along with the Exodus and our style, you know?
Yeah.
I wanted more organic, you know, and it was fucking amazing.
Well, I mean, you think about, you know, decades into it, 12 albums into it now, like, to be able to do those things and still push yourselves and do new things, whether it's how you wrote or Rob finding, you know, new areas to explore, whatever that is, man, like, it's just incredible that you're able to still push yourselves like that.
Well, Exodus carries the world's biggest chip on our shoulders, you know, like, and it works to our advantage. We're never satisfied. The world's against us and everybody looks down on us. Like we'll write the fastest thrash album ever. And like compared to our peers, and if it's 2% not as fast as the one before, Exodus slowed down. We're still faster than everybody else. we feel we don't get the credit. And, you know, we've had years of self-inflicted damage, you know, and dysfunction. And, but it keeps us motivated, you know, to prove ourselves, you know, like, you know, we're like arguably the first one, you know, us and Metallica formed at the same time. Exodus was formed in the 70s.
Yeah, I know.
and here we are, I'm biased, obviously, but, in our 60s, we're making some of our best music, you know. Testament's making some of their best music.
Amen, man. Yeah.
You know, like, who says, like, you have to mail it in, you know, if you fucking love what you're doing and you're still, like, motivated to explore new avenues in what you do, you know, there's no limit. You know, I mean, eventually age will catch up to us and we can't play this shit because modern era Exodus is more difficult than the 80s stuff to play.
Yeah.
It just is, you know, like, and I'm arthritic and have bad joints from my toes to my fucking neck. I'm serious. All of them are bad. I've had countless injections from here, and 3 spinal taps.
Yeah. Well, no,
you know, I do it to keep going, you know?
Right.
You know, like in Slayer, I had so many injections in my elbows, I can't count them.
Yeah.
The alternative was to stop for a while and just maybe I should have, you know? But, you know, I just keep going. Can't stop.
Yeah. Well, man, I mean, you mentioned Testament and Parabellum, I think, was one of the best albums last year. Just amazing. And I think Goliath is lined up to you know, be similar this year, man. It's an incredible record. And man, I can't wait for fans to hear it on March 20th. And you said, you know, you've got 80% of the follow-up done. When we talked to you when your memoir came out, well, you know, a little less than a year ago, you had said you guys were writing 2 albums at the same time. I mean, that was just, you guys came in with so much material that you didn't want to throw it away and keep going.
Yeah. And we had the time and we just wanted to get ahead of the game. You know, like I jokingly tell everybody, look, if I had hit my goal to finish the next album, I could have this thing I heard about called a vacation. Which, you know, I hear they're really good.
Yeah.
You get on a plane and go somewhere and relax. You know, I've never had one. The only vacations I've ever had, you know, with myself and my wife, they required a guitar to get there.
Yeah.
You know, like at the end of a tour, or it is a tour, but she'll fly out, or we'll play like one of the metal cruises and I get to spend a day in Cozumel or Nassau, you know, but to like go somewhere without music being the primary driving force of getting me there, I've never done it. you know? And so our goal was like to finish it because we are getting older. Finishing it and having it ready to go reduces the time spent creating it, you know? But by the time we get around to like finishing the next one, Lee and I write another 10 songs, you know, it's just the way it is. And there's worse problems to have than have really killer unreleased music. Cause I still have full on anxiety over which songs we didn't put on this album.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah.
Cause the shit is that good. It's not like we picked the 10 best and ignored the others. There's like some of the strongest shit we ever wrote, we set aside, you know, like, and so I'm still like, you know, confused. Did we make the right choice? You know, some of my, and of course, like most of my best solos that I personally like happen to be on songs on the next record.
Yeah. You know, like, do you have a vacation lined up yet?
No, not yet. I have a ton of freaking flyer miles though. I mean, a lot. Man.
Yeah, I bet.
My wife and I can pretty much go anywhere we want. We're gonna finish touring for this album and then maybe.
Well, yeah. Yeah, that's the thing, man. Like, all right, you finish the album, but you guys have a lot of shows this year all over the world, you know, hitting Canada with Megadeth and Anthrax, Europe with Creator, Carcass, and Nails, and a lot of ground here in the States, too, with Sepultura. And these are massive shows, man. You've got a lot of, you got a lot on the calendar.
Well, we're doing 4 weeks with Megadeth and Anthrax, and we're home, I think, for 8 days, and then we're off for 9 weeks straight. I never did 9 weeks straight when I was 25, you know, like, but we believe so much in this album that we know the best thing we could do for this album is just hit it hard out the gate with really good tours, you know. We'll go and play the, you know, I love playing the dive bars and stuff, but, you know, we're and headlining them. They're awesome. Punk rock is fuck. But we're going out the gate and doing all really big killer shows with all really good friends, and it's going to be awesome. You couldn't ask for a better launch, you know?
Yeah, yeah. We caught up with Dave Mustaine when Megadeth released their final album, and he could not talk enough about how excited he is to hit the road with you guys.
That's going to be amazing. It's been a while. I mean, and I've toured more with Anthrax than any band on earth between Exodus and Slayer.
Yeah,
like I can't count how many times we've shared the stage. So that's going to be fun doing it again.
Yeah. Well, you mentioned this was, you know, the one of the most collaborative albums you guys have done. What led to that? Like, did that feel like this was something we want to do, or it just happened?
You know, maybe part of it is like, well, there's two parts, really. One is everybody was like contributing heavily. Past albums, you know, like you'd have 10 songs, I'd write 8 and lead right two, you know, and Lee's the first to tell you he's the laziest guy. He'll like take it, you know, he'll jokes, but he's not really joking when he says he'll take an Uber like a quarter mile. Like, I don't want to walk, that's a quarter mile. And he really, really busted his ass working on songs. He had his vision. They added whole new elements to the record. And I'm not going to stand in the way of that. I'm at my age now. I'm like, whatever's best for Exodus. And it adds that diversity, you know, because, you know, if I write the whole album, it's going to be one man's vision versus two. And Tom wrote lyrics and Lee contributed lyrics and Rob wrote a lot. So it actually allowed me to concentrate on other songs and why we have so much material.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, I wrote 12 myself between this album and the next. So I wrote a lot of stuff. I wrote an album's worth of stuff. But if it was just me, we'd have two songs in the can, not 8, because Lee wrote a lot of shit.
What's the timeline on the follow-up to this?
You know, we're going to tour until this album feels like it's time to, like, prepare for another.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and beyond that, man, you've got, you know, everything going on with Exodus. You stay busy elsewhere, and Slayer is playing the Sick New World Festival in Fort Worth, Texas in October. You know, just a massive festival with a bajillion bands. Do you enjoy playing festivals like that?
Yeah, I do. I mean, you know, I like all of it, and everybody says that, but, you know, I like playing a jam-packed, sweaty punk rock club, and I like playing the huge festivals.
Yeah.
The only thing I don't like about the biggest festivals now is every year it seems the crowd gets further away. Like, you know, the barricade is big enough to drive, like, you know, fire trucks through. Maybe that's the rules now. It didn't used to be that way. We'd play a huge festival, and the crowd was still only, like, you know, 10 feet away, and now sometimes they're fucking, seems like they're 50 feet back. I don't like that. But, you know, it's awesome. You're playing huge shows in front of enormous crowds. And in the case of Slayer, you know, we've got everything's on fire. It's like, you know, teenage dream, you know. You know, you dreamt about that shit as a young teenage guitar player, you know. You know, you saw it in your head. it's expensive, but you know, Slayer can do it. It's awesome.
That's right. That's right, man. Well, listen, I mean, all right. So all of this stuff going on, man, we've talked about everything and, you know, maybe one day you'll take a vacation, but what else is keeping your attention these days? You know, you're busy as hell with the album, this upcoming tour, the festival with Slayer and, you know, another album on the horizon and probably more touring. But what, like with all of that stuff, what else has your attention? Like, do you let other things take your attention?
I'm currently finishing up producing a demo for this young band up here called Parabellum, who are just fucking amazing.
Oh, yeah.
And I had the free time. They asked me, and like, the drummer's 17. He's been playing 2 years. He's a fucking machine. Guitar player, singer is like the most savage down picker I've ever seen. So it's vintage Hetfield. It's like, it's a monster, you know, and they're kids, you know, like, yeah. I only think one of them can legally drink. And well, they're fun, awesome, man. But I had the time to do it, so you know, it's been fun, and I like being in the studio. You know, I mean, I like it more with Exodus. I'll put in longer hours because you're laser focused.
Yeah,
and but that, you know, just taking care of the house. You know, I live in the woods, so it's constant work. You know,
non-stop.
Trees, you know, they end up falling, they shit like that, leaves. Yeah, when you live here, it's like, it's a job.
Yeah,
but I like, sure, I love it. It's a peace and quiet, you know?
Are you, do you have any desire to write a follow-up to your memoir?
Yeah, I've thought about it because, I mean, I already did the life story, but I have a million, like, classic anecdotes and stories. Right. Like, seriously humorous shit that could make a book all of its own. So if I did another one, it would be just like, you know, Gary's stories of laughter and woe, you know, because there's tons of great shit that didn't make the book.
Yeah, well, I love that, man. Well, Gary Holt, thank you so much for hanging tonight. Congrats
on
everything.
Thank you for having me.
Congrats on everything happening, man. I can't wait for fans to get Exodus's new album Goliath out here on March 20th. Listeners, get everything you need. Pre-order the album, everything, at ExodusAttack.com. We'll always keep you posted on Loudwire too. But Gary, you're always welcome in. Hopefully we can do this again.
Thank you so much.
Anytime you want, man.
All right, take care, man.
That wraps up this episode of Loudwire Nights on Demand. Stay caught up with everything happening in the world of rock and metal on the Loudwire app and at loudwire.com.